When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, the Bible says all we do is to trust and what? Obedience is the most important thing in our Christian walk. If you walk with the Holy Spirit without obeying his promptings, you're not walking with him.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
All right, please go with me to the book of John, chapter 15. In this Christmas season, we want to put focus on Jesus because he's the birthday boy. Hallelujah. We're not going to talk about anybody else but Jesus. Amen. Christmas is about a lot of things. We understood that the Christmas lights remind us of the light of the world, which is Jesus. The nativity scene reminds us of the shepherds, that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. And today I want to deal with the Christmas tree. It is symbolic of Jesus who said, I am the true vine. I am what? So there is great meaning to the symbols in Christmas. In fact, Christmas is about shopping. Because the wise men, they went for shopping before they got gifts. You want me to keep pushing you? Don't let the world sell anything different to you. The Lord our God is mighty. He will not allow anything to be said about him that is not true about him. Hallelujah. So today we want to look at Jesus, the true vine. If you want to make it contemporary, you can call it Jesus, the Christmas tree. He is our Christmas tree. Amen and amen. John chapter 15, John chapter 15, and we will read the first verse. John chapter 15, we will read verse 1 together. If you're ready, please read with me. John chapter 15, we'll try and read from the screen, shall we? Read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Notice what Jesus said. He says, I am the true vine. Why is Jesus saying he's a true vine? He didn't just say, I am the vine. He says, I am the true vine. Because all throughout the scriptures, you will notice that God refers to Israel, the nation Israel, as his vineyard. But this vineyard, the scripture says, has not produced what God was expecting. And so now he is looking for a new vine, and it's got to be himself. Tell me to the book of Isaiah chapter 5, and please, I wanted you to understand why Jesus said it. He is not just a vine, but he is the true vine, right? Whilst you are opening, I'll read a few verses in the book of Isaiah. He says, I'll sing for the one I love a song about a vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside, and he talks about how he has decorated this vineyard, planted all kinds of things in it, and then later on in verse 7, are you there? I was waiting on you. Verse 7, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, he says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of what? Israel. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. So who is the vineyard? Come on, talk to me. Who is the vineyard? The nation of Israel. He says, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in, and he looked for justice, but what did he find? Bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but he heard the cries of distress. Now, the vine was supposed to produce righteousness and justice, but he did not find that. And so God Almighty says, through the body of Jesus, I am the true vine, the one that will produce righteousness and the one that will bring whatever God Almighty is looking for. Amen. This is why Jesus was saying that he's the true vine, because as soon as he says, I'm the vine, it will be on the minds of those who are listening to him, the Jews, that he's talking about them. And Jesus wanted to remind them, I'm not talking about you, because you have become a vine that has not produced the fruit that God requires. I am the true vine. Everybody say, I am the true vine. With that in mind, let's read the rest of the verses in the book of John chapter 15. We'll continue from verse 2, all right, where Jesus, he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be much more what? Fruitful. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Please, wherever you see the word remain, I want you to circle it, highlight it, because the entire message that I'm going to preach is about that. Remain in me, and I will do what? Also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. How many remains do you have now? It's more than three. Remain in me, I remain in you, but it must remain in the vine. And then unless you remain in me. It's four of them. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, that's number one. And I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me pause for a second. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, how many remains now? You are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, that's number 7, and my words remain in you, that's number 8, ask whatever you wish and it will be. So he tells you the importance. Answered prayer is on the basis of those who remain in him. Not those who shout. Not those who come fast. But those who remain. Come on, talk to me. Not those who know how to use all the right words. But those who what? Remain. This is to my Father. I'm reading verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. That's number what? Some people are going faster. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Number what? 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Please notice that verse. Because you don't command your friends. The context of this is that you are a friend of a king. And kings command. Make sure you don't put it in modern terms. You hear many people say, he's my friend. You are a friend of a king. He's not just ordinary. Verse 15. I no longer call you servant because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Other versions said fruit that would what? Remain. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. He repeats it. Love each other. Amen. Did you understand what we just read? Let's look at a few implications, because this Christmas tree says, follow me as I move towards this tree here. You'll notice that this tree has so many things hanging on it, but it can be detached. Do you agree? The import of John 15 is that you and I are already attached to the tree. The reason for which he says remain 11 times is because there is the tendency to disconnect. We disconnect through our behavior. We disconnect when troubles hit us. We disconnect when so many things come our way. But he is telling us. So the first implication is that the believer in Christ is already attached to Christ. You are already one. We see that in John chapter 15, verse 3. It says, you are already clean. Remember, he says that any branch that does not produce, he will do what? He will clean it up. So if you are already clean, it means you are already in him. You're already in him. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. I know some of you are looking at my face like, what is he talking about? Okay. That Jesus says, I am the true what? So he is the vine or the tree. God the Father is the gardener. You and I, believers, we are the branches. If you cut a branch from the tree, how good is that branch? Talk to me. How good is the branch? So in this Christmas season, when you see Christmas trees, remind yourself that you are connected to Jesus. He is the vine. You are the branch. Everybody put your hands on your right chest. With my hands like this. Pastor, what is the spiritual implication? None. And simply say, because human beings, we like repertoire and regimen. Follow me. I am the branch. Tell the person sitting next to you, you are a branch. Stay connected to Jesus. Amen. The second implication is that our goal then is to make sure we don't disconnect ourselves from Christ, either intentionally or unintentionally. It is very easy to disconnect. And I will come to that. The third implication is that if we stay connected, we will produce fruit. If we stay connected, we will what? Okay, please listen very carefully to me. From today, stop praying, Lord, help me to bear fruit, because it is not scriptural. From today, never ask God to help you bear fruit. Rather, pray that you stay connected. Because as long as you are connected, you will bear fruit. Are you with me? As long as you are connected, you will what? You will bear fruit. I'll get much deeper into that. As long as you're connected, you will bear fruit. The fourth implication, the fourth and final, is that Christ tells us to remain or abide 11 times in this few verses. Because we are always tempted to disconnect or to leave. Little problem hits a Christian and they don't want to pray. They pray for a few months and don't get results. They don't go to church. They disconnect from other believers. Disconnection is a big problem for me and you. We are constantly in the mode where the devil wants to make sure you disconnect. This is why Jesus says, remain, abide. He said it 11 times. Jesus was not repeating it for the sake of repetition. He did it because he knows is the problem of the branch. Sometimes the branch has been decorated so well that they feel that the other branches on the tree don't look that good. So we must be disconnected so we can keep our shine. Please, your shine is my shine. My shine is your shine. Do you understand my colloquial vernacular? Your shine. If you look good, it will look good on me. Who is the other branch? This is why you cannot afford to walk in sin, because you are not helping the other branches. Amen. So let's not make Christmas just about trees. Let's make it about the true tree, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, I am the tree. You are the branch. My Father is the gardener. If you have a farm, how many of you think that the plant you plant is responsible for growing? Is the plant responsible for growing? The plant has no business. For the plant, all it has to do is to stay in the soil. As long as it is in the soil and the gardener keeps watering it and it's receiving sunlight, remain. It will what? The problem is, at some point, we block the sunlight. We come out of the soil because we are not regular plants. We're human beings. We can move. You must be careful because Satan is about helping you to disconnect. Last week, I said this. One sheep needs another sheep. Never run away from the pack because the strength is when all the sheep are together. We live in a society that teaches us privatization. Be by yourself. Me, I look good. Cha, you think you look good. When you get close to the next person, you realize, forgive my English, you become gooder because the person looks more good than you. Amen. So let me deal with some important questions and I'll close. Are you learning anything so far? Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. God the Father is the gardener. Without me, you can do what? So let's begin with definition of the word remain, or in the King James, abide. What does it mean to remain? When he says remain or abide 11 times, what does he mean? It comes from a Greek word called meno. It simply means to hang out, stay, continue, don't live. You have to stay there. Can anybody explain the Hebrew of this to me? It simply means don't go. You got to stay there. You got it, what? So if Jesus is this vine here, the word remain, meno, means I have to stay here. Other things may look nice that are attracting my attention, but I can't afford to leave. I must what? Stay. Meno means I have to hang out. In other words, there may be other things wanting to hang out with me, but I have chosen that the only thing I hang out with is him. Are you with me? There will be other messiahs that will come. There will be other people that will come who will say that they are Christ. But he says, stay with me because you are already attached to me. Make sure you don't sever the relationship. He tells us why remaining is so important. Look at verse 2, everybody. Put out for me John chapter 15 and verse 2. Because when we are disconnected from Jesus, something happens. What is it that happens? Let's read verse 2, John chapter 15. He says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Everybody say no fruit. Look at verse 5 of John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So he's saying that it is important that you remain, you stay connected, because when you are disconnected, you produce no fruit. Everybody say no fruit. This is why you find many believers, they are in church for years, but when they open their mouth and they talk, it is as if they've never been born again, because they talk the same way before they got born again. You must remain connected to the vine. Everybody say, I must stay connected. The second implication why it is important to remain is that when we stay connected, there are several fruits the Bible talk about. If you go with me, you will notice he talks about in verse 2. He says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, he prunes every branch that produces fruit. So everybody say, fruit-bearing branches. So number one, there is no fruit branches. And that happens because there is a disconnection. But when we choose to remain, abide, stay, hang out, meadow, stay with him, and don't move away, we become fruit-bearing branches. Question is, which branch are you? Are you no fruit branch, or are you a fruit-bearing branch? There is no spiritual stuff about this. Look into your life, because the Bible says, by their fruit. Why? You don't want to complete it? By their... Don't talk about other people. Talk about yourself. So say it this way. By my fruit, I will be known. So the fruit you have now, does it show that you are attached? I'm showing you how to stay connected. Your fruit will tell you if you are connected. Because it is... no work of yours. Don't pray, Lord, let me bear fruit. It's meaningless. He's already shown us. Just stay connected. And it is his responsibility to make sure you bear fruit. Amen. So we see no fruit, and then we see fruit bearing. If you continue again, he says, so that he prunes it, so that the tree will bear what? More fruit. So there is no fruit, there is fruit, and thirdly, there is what? More fruit. Some believers are in the fruit-bearing stage. Others are producing more. Then if you continue, he says, there will be much fruit. To put it in a much better modern English, let's say you are a much more bearing fruit. So there is no fruit, there is fruit-bearing, there is more fruit, and there is what? Much more fruit. And in verse 16, he talks about the fruit that remains, or the fruit that lasts. So there is lasting fruit. Question is, where are you? This Christmas season, I know by now everybody has put up their Christmas trees. Have you? My early days in this country, my Christmas tree was only put up on the night. Because I used to live with friends, but when I left, I was by myself. My room was empty. My bed was actually my clothes, and my pillow was my bag. I didn't rise to get here. Some hard work. And the grace of God brought us here. So I waited till just before the stores closed. I stood close. Because just before they close, the Christmas trees become 99 cents. With taxes, it's a dollar. So, not the commercial ones. I'm talking about the real pine trees. So I'll pick up one, and then I'll go. And the lights all go cheap. So I'll go set it up by myself in my room. Where I sing my song, and I have my fun inside there. But today, I am reminded of this truth. Well, when we see those trees, we must ask ourselves, am I a no fruit branch? I'm a fruit bearing branch. I'm a more fruit bearing branch. Am I a much more fruit bearing branch? Or is my fruit lasting? Am I a lasting fruit? What level are you? What level are you? You want to tell the person, don't, please don't do it. Because by your fruit they know. So don't say something that you are not before they start calling you names. Everybody go to verse 2 because there is something I want to show you. And if you can read verse 2 of John chapter 15 with me, I would love it. Shall we go? He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be. This is one of the reasons for which I don't like modern versions, because it distorts the original Greek here. Put the King James up and you realize it's something different completely. Read with me, shall we? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. I'm focusing on not bearing fruit. We want to figure out how we can what? Bear fruit. And the whole issue has to do with staying what? Connected. Now, if God Almighty simply takes the branch and he cuts it and throws it away, what is he doing with his own people? This is why I said check those modern versions. The actual translation should be, he taketh it away. Why? Now, I need you all to pay attention. Suppose the top of this pulpit here is the ground, the surface of the ground. And this is planted beneath the surface. There are branches that always go up, but sometimes there are branches that is too close to the ground. When the branches are already up like this, they receive enough sunlight, and as long as it's attached, it will grow. But then when they are still attached, but they are too close to the ground, so they don't receive enough sunlight. Are you guys following me? What the farmers would then do is to take this branch away. They don't cut it. They take it away. They don't cut it. They do what? They take it away. He taketh it away. Forgive my King James language. You are modern people, and then they keep misinterpreting stuff. He takes it away from the soil so that it will now start receiving what? Are you getting it? Most of the time, the soil is sin. Things he said we shouldn't do, and we are too close to it. So for us to become fruit, more fruit, much fruit, lasting fruit, he has to take. There are a lot of debris on the surface of, and we are too close to. I'll give you an assignment. When you go home, go and find out what is it that you are so close to. Because the closer you are to the sun, you will bear fruit. The closer you are to the debris here, he has to take you away. From? Come on, talk to me. From? And sometimes God is trying to take us away. He's the gardener. He's trying to take us away. And we are still going towards it. Because we love this place. You want to be on the lowest ground. But he says, no, you are an eagle, not a chicken. You were born to soar. You were born to what? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he what? Take it away. Some of you are praying, God, make me a prayerful person. That's fruit. Correct? Does it just happen on its own? How is it going to happen? He must take you away from laziness. Because as long as you stay here, that fruit will be no fruit. Lord, make me a branch that walks in righteousness, but you are here. And he wants to take you away. But he takes you away, and you want to go back. Now, please follow me. What the regular farmers would do by taking this branch that has burned so down is that they will often tie it with a rope. When they tie the rope, where do they tie it to? They don't tie it to another branch. Because if you did that, the weight of this branch can bring down the other branch. This is why you cannot depend on another Christian to walk in righteousness. So then, the farmers would tie this to the main stem, the actual vine. Because when we depend on the vine, we will be brought up. And they don't tie us up, boom, all of a sudden. If you did that, you will break. So they tie you to an angle. Then after a while, when they realize you are straightening up, they pull you again. And then it pulls you again. Then it pulls you again. And now you cut to a place, and then you are in it. Are you here with me today? If you depend on the vine, the gardener will make sure he picks you up from this place. The world is selling the church a lot of garbage. That it's okay to keep staying close here. No. No. God the Father wants to lift you up. He wants to take you away. He does not cut it away. He simply takes it away. In fact, I think the New Century Bible says he removes it. Removes it from where? From the soil. From the things that are destroying it. He brings it up so that it can stay here. So this Christmas, when you see the Christmas tree, the same way you see all the little branches here and there, stay in place, stay in place. And when you stay in place, the light of the world will be around you. You didn't catch that. I said, stay in what? Place. Quit moving around. So let's answer the last question. How do we stay connected to Jesus, the vine? How? As long as you are not disconnected and you are in him, no matter how close you are to the ground, the Father will pull you back up. How do we do that? The answer is simple. Modern preachers who say obedience is a work. This is why the church has no fruit. Because the answer, and I'll show you, Jesus said it himself in the text. The answer is what? Come on, read with me. The answer is what? How do we stay connected to Jesus? You see, just two people are reading it right. Don't just say obey. Obey today. Obey tomorrow. Obey in the morning. Obey in the afternoon. Obey in the night. Obey when you are in church. Obey when you are at work. Obey at the mall. Don't steal. Obey, obey, and obey. Obey. I didn't have enough paper, else I would have written obey, obey, obey. And obey only what you know. Because God is not going to hold you responsible for what you do not know. This is why he has people like me and other preachers reminding you. So once you hear it one time, you are required to obey. Are you with me? Few scriptures and then we'll close. Look at John chapter 15. Read with me from the screen. John 15 and then the 10th verse. Read with me. Shall we go? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Wow. If you what? Okay. Keep my command is equal to what? Is obey. The Hebrew, the whatever of it, is obey. Everybody say obey. without being sassy and condescending. Look into the eyes of the person sitting next to you. If it's your kid, please be nice. And say, obey. If it was your father or your mother that spoke to you, we are talking about obey. Everybody say one. This is why it is wrong to say, because my father did not take care of me, I will not obey. Because your obedience is to God. Your obedience is to who? It's to God. Obey, obey, obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, the Bible says all we do is to trust and what? Obedience is the most important thing in our Christian walk. If you walk with the Holy Spirit without obeying his promptings, you're not walking with him. Jesus said, you're already attached to me. Stay. There is the temptation to just walk away. So whenever, please, everybody listen to me. If you can, look at my face, let me talk to you. I think it was Malcolm McGrath who said these words, that whenever you decide to take a boundary away, pause and think hard enough to ask yourself, why was the boundary put there in the first place? This generation tends to think that it looks outdated, so let's get rid of it. There's a reason it was put there in the first place. God is not schizophrenic, who tells you to obey something in the Old Testament and he shows up in the New Testament and he says, don't obey. It's like God is doing achi achi. He's just doing lottery. He says it now. I changed my mind. I said it then. I'm not saying it again. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And the New Testament so no. Oh, no, no. Grace. In fact, grace sets the bar very high. I was talking to someone and I said, man, grace really set the bar high for men. Just so the men here don't think I'm talking to them. In the Old Testament, you have to actually go grab a woman, go into the bedroom, sleep with her for you to commit adultery. In the grace period, only when you think. So the person doesn't have to see you, Luko. When you think it, the ladies think that they are free. I'm coming. When you think it, the Bible says you already did it. This generation is, did you see me? It's not about did you see me, because God saw you. Where did God see you? He saw you in your mind. Because he has the ability to see into your head. So please understand that whenever we say obey, you know how I read this story about a kid who the father was saying, sit down. He was standing. Sit down. He was standing. Sit down. He was standing. Then the dad says, if you don't sit, you will see what I'll do. And the kid sat down. A few hours, grandma was passing by and said, finally, you obeyed your dad, you are sitting. He said, grandma, you see me sitting, but in my heart, I'm standing. In other words, we're talking about obedience, and I'm trying to illustrate parts of it. That sometimes we say we're obeying, but deep in our hearts, we're not. We're not. Everybody around thinks that you are, but you, between you and God, you know you are not. We can be better. I said, we can what? Be better. We must learn to obey. Jesus says, if you obey my command, you will remain. He teaches you how to do it. If you keep my commands, you will what? Remain. And why? He said, because I kept my Father's command and I remain in him. So I've done it. So you can what? Do it. Do it just as Christ what? Did it. Look at John chapter 14. Look at the 23rd verse. Please read with me from the screen if you can. John 14, 23. Please read with me. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." When they make his home with you, what is he doing? Remaining. He's abiding with you. But he says it begins from what? Obey. Please notice the two words he ties together. Because in this context, he tells us what the command is. He says, the command that I'm giving you is that you love one another. Some years back, I asked my mentor that he should give me a few things that will help me in my work as a pastor. And he told me, obey God, only God. Don't worry about human beings. Always obey him. The second thing he told me was that genuinely love the people. And the third thing he says, always preach nothing but the word. Then after that, he asked me, which of these three do you think is difficult? And I said, obeying God. He looked at me and said, silly boy. Can you guess why he says silly boy? Because after so many years, when he says silly boy, he didn't say any much to me. Now, I know the answer I gave was wrong. Obeying God is easy. Loving people genuinely. Not that I am loving, but I'm sitting. When we reverse it, it's like, not that I'm saying I love, but I actually, you don't. Jesus is saying that if you obey me, you automatically love people. And if you love people, you are, in retrospect, obeying me. You know, it's very easy to love people who are your friends. Go back to John 15 because Jesus talks about it. And I want us to end there. I in John 15. Starting from verse 12. He says, "This is my command." I in John 15, 12. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." How many of you will lay your life down for your friends? You may work for their parties. How many of you will lay down your life for your friends? We don't do that. How many of you parents will lay your life down for your children? See, hands are going up. How many of you will lay your lives down for your parents? See, most hands are going up. But nobody lays down their life for a friend. Yet it is these friends who takes us away from our children and our parents. Now, I need you to follow me. There's a reason for which we are still talking about obey. Remember when we were reading, I told you, Jesus says, "You are my friends if you are obey me." Do you obey your friends? Sometimes, not all the time. Let's read 13 again. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known unto you. You did not choose me. I chose you and I appointed you." So notice Jesus is still using friendship language. You choose friends. So you can unchoose them later. Facebook, you friend them. And then, notice that he just told us not to disconnect. Then he uses a terminology that paints a picture that makes it easy for people to what? Disconnect. He didn't say, "You are my children." He simply says, "You are my what? Friends." Because he's trying to remind us that friends are not that loyal. They can stay close or what? Leave. Now he tells them the way to do it. I was talking to someone who says, as for me, I'm really very, very loyal to my friends. I have grown, honestly. And you all have taught me a lot. I looked at a person and I said, name me one person that 7 years ago was your friend. And the person couldn't give me one. What do you think is the issue? Because as soon as you get on their nerves, you're out of here. Friendships come so easy for them. And it goes very easy. Please follow me because we are still talking about obedience. We don't obey friends, Jesus is trying to say. But I have called you friends because you have the right to either stay or leave. But would you stay? Jesus was not missing words when he put all that together. He says, greater love has no one than this, that I will lay my life down for people who have a right to either stay with me or leave me. By his friends. But I have made a decision that I will lay my life down for them to show them that as friends of the king is ready to lay his life down for them. So they must also be ready to lay their lives down for their king. How do you accomplish that? Obey, 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 obey. Say that with me. Obey, 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 obey. Obey. Pastor, that many times? Yes. Can I show you how to obey God every time and never miss out? It took me a while to master it. Can I show you? Are you really ready to learn? Come next week. No. I'm going to show you right now. If you want to obey God on a consistent basis, always do what he says, even when you don't understand. Even when you don't what? God is never going to engage in text with you. He doesn't explain himself. Have you found a king explain himself to his subject? No. He calls me friend. Yes, he calls us friends. But remember, you are not just the friend you can kick. He's a king. Did you learn anything today? You did not choose me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained or appointed you so that you go and bear fruit. And that, he says, I am not looking for no fruit, fruit, much more fruit or more fruit, but I'm looking for fruit that remains. Let's end there. If somebody is no fruit, can their status change tomorrow? Can their status change tomorrow? All right. When somebody has more fruit, is it possible that this person might have been just fruit and is now at more fruit? And if somebody is more fruit, there's a possibility that given time and staying connected to the vine, they will become what? Much more what? Fruit. So you see variations and changing, but the level where he wants to get you to is the lasting fruit, the one that does not go nowhere. It doesn't change. No matter the difficulties, no matter the pain, no matter the things you are experiencing. Have you seen believers who, because their faith were tested, is now saying, I don't want to walk with God anymore? Have you ever seen that? So once there were fruit, now there seem to be no fruit. He says, when you stay connected to me, what I want to produce in you is a fruit that remains. It does not matter how many things come against you. When people come, they see you still on fire the same way for God.
Why is your commitment like this? You don't know the troubles I see. If you stay connected, the troubles you see don't change your fruit. It keeps your fruit where it is. In fact, Satan, I think sometimes, fears attacking me. Do you know why? Because if you attack me, that is when I will pray more. You leave me alone, maybe I'll become prayerless. Because the more things I see that is meant to separate me from the love of God is the very thing that keeps me in the love of God. And I pray that you will be the same. We're looking at Christmas pines. We're seeing the tree. Let us remember that we are branches that are tied to the tree. If you are too close to the ground, he's ready to lift you up and to point you straight back to him, that you are not only connected in him, but you are connected to the nutrients that causes you to grow. I pray today that you will not let Christmas just be about trees in your home, but spend some time, sit down, look at the tree in your house, and begin to picture yourself as the branch on that tree that has been decored with lights, with all kinds of ornaments, because God Almighty wants to work in your life. Shall we pray? When peace like a river heart handed my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to say, it is work, it is work with my soul, it is work. If you wouldn't mind, please stand with me. With my soul. It is well. It is it's well. Oh, it. Oh, it is well. When my soul. My soul. I sung the song to remind someone who may be experiencing some painful issues in life that is not a basis to detach from the vine. Because he's taught us to say one and only one thing, that we live for him. We're going to sing it for the last time, and I'll just pray for you and let you out of here. But remember, life is full of troubles, but it's not a basis for you to disconnect. As long as you stay in him, the husbandman, the gardener, God the Father has the sole responsibility to cause fruit to rise in your life. And sometimes the fruit is not only a righteous life. It is not about just the peace of God. Sometimes we cry over money. But the truth is that what good is money when you have no peace to use it? If you have an awesome bed in your house,
but you cannot sleep. What good is it? So you'll notice that some things are more important. This is why I sing that to you today. It is well. It is well. No matter the things you're experiencing. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when souls lie sick billows roll, what if, oh my Lord, thou hast taught me, thou hast taught me to say, with my soul, sing with me, everyone. It is well. Oh, with my soul. Change it to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise, oh my soul. Oh, praise the Lord. Soul. Remind us, King of Glory, we live and we please only one audience, and it is you. May our lives be that we please only you, because when we please you, that is all that matters. I pray for those who are in this building and maybe online, and those who might be listening to our radio. Lord, we are praying for them, asking of you that you touch everyone and remind them that the things we deal with are but for a moment, because soon you will come. And we'll be raptured in your presence to walk with you and to know that we are yours forever. Bring our hearts to that place, Father, and teach us your truth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless all of you. Have a very good week.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.